This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury in the studio with
Jeff Sundu.
Frida Liu.
We're talking about digitally de-stressing. How do you use your devices to de-stress despite how we've been stressing you out about our digital devices? We've asked for some feedback. We've got a little bit via Twitter. What have we got?
Yeah, so Gwen says memes and videos on Facebook or Instagram could laugh for an entire hour. Following that, Tasha Musa says Netflix and YouTube, specifically Golden Girls, funny moments, always a good way to de-stress.
Golden Girls,
yeah. That's, like, it goes back to like 70s, 80s.
I wouldn't know, Jeff. I'm a young man.
I have to say, though, YouTube, if you... Yeah, so all these funny clips on all, I have this addiction to The Office US. Edition, and you just, you know, type in The Office US funny moments, and it's just hilarious. Like watching Steve Carell doing the BG staying alive on the mannequin, and like, you know, that's just one of those 3 minutes clips that, yeah, will just make you laugh.
You just need a giggle.
But the worry is, it goes back to Gwen saying you could laugh for an entire hour.
Because you
are hooked on your phone for the entire hour. It's dangerous.
But you're de-stressed for a little while.
Yeah, but a bit too much, no?
Right.
But you're laughing. Things, okay.
Okay, so away from the laughter and onto something a bit more serious, let's talk about IPOs.
Yeah, you may
see that nice segue there. Yeah.
You may have heard, like, in the news recently, I think T-Live, their parent, Loop Holding, they're planning for an IPO and they're going aggressive. I think they're looking at 1,000 new outlets soon, and they're looking for an, you know, aggressive expansion. And sometime late 2019, they're looking to go for the IPO route. And they've been talking about this for a long time now, and they've come a long way if you think about it. Since being just the Chatime franchisee, master owner, to now being their own brand. There was also a worry that, like, oh, you know, that was the end for T-Live when the whole, you know, issue kind of happened when they broke away from Chatime and stuff, right? And I guess kudos to them, because they've really came out of that, and, you know, they made it their own now, and they're really proud, and they keep calling themselves, you know, this is a Malaysian brand and stuff. So really kudos to the entire team there. And personally, I actually find it very interesting that they're looking at IPO as a way to raise capital following their expansion plans, because there are various alternative funding methods that are already available in the market, right? But having said that, the IPO route is actually still a dream destination for most startups, and it's the holy grail for any founder of a company to reach that IPO stage. And there are various different requirements for a company to be listed. It kind of really depends on which market you're going for, whether it's the NASDAQ or Bursa, or, you know, it depends on really where you want to go. And on the global market, if you look at it, Uber is looking at what's expected to be the biggest IPO in years. They're seeking $100 billion valuation. So that's just, you know, insane when you number, right? Yeah. $100 billion valuation. My company is worth $100 billion.
I mean, can
US
you just
dollars.
Imagine the look on somebody's face when he's just typing it away on his laptop and he's like, he's picking numbers out of the air. I think I'll go with the 100 billion.
100 sounds,
you know,
just about right.
Yeah.
Billion.
Yeah.
With a B.
Yeah. Not an M, a B.
And in Malaysia, Bursa said they're seeing more and higher valued IPO this year, both in terms of numbers and the size. There were 22 IPOs last year compared to 14 listings in 2017. But the amounts raised was starkly lower, at about 630 million ringgit compared to 2017 was 7 billion ringgit. And this is because most of the companies were going on the LEAP market listing. And LEAP is the Leading Entrepreneur Accelerator Program. It's where wealthy investors can lend money via capital markets to SMEs. And that's why a lot of them are jumping onto this platform. There are two big potential IPOs, according to Bursa, this year. One is the relisting of QSR Brands Holdings, which brings in family favorites like KFC and Pizza Hut. They have recently came out and said that they've decided to retime their IPO following talks with its bankers. Reuters reported that QSR had shelved their plans for an IPO that could raise about $500 million. As potential investors, they kind of hesitated on the valuation itself. The other relisting that everyone's like kind of looking out for is Leong Hub International. They are an eggs producer and also a poultry farmer. Apparently, that's going to be one of the two biggest IPOs IPOs that will happen in Bursa. So despite all the alternative ways of raising capital on enterprise, we've spoken about it so many times, the IPO route seems to be the much preferred route for most business owners, and it's not without challenges though, right? So to understand a little bit more about going through IPO, on the phone we have Terence Liu. He's the chief executive and the founder of Aquilas Advisory. It's an investor relations consultancy. Terence, with the recent string of IPO related news, we've spoken about T-Live. They're planning about one of their, you know, most aggressive expansion. QSR, as I mentioned earlier, and even in the US with Uber's IPO, Lyft has this failed IPO, and Pinterest's explosion. What factors go into a company's decision to consider an IPO?
Well, typically an IPO is a natural progression for any growth-hungry companies going to the capital market to raise funds for business expansions. Now, this will be after a company has reached the limit with traditional avenues of business financing, such as bank borrowing, family funding, or roping in new business partners. But nowadays, you know, besides the business expansion motives, there are quite a few underlying factors that are often not obvious to many. Firstly, you know, if a private company is relying so much on bank borrowings for its expansion, funding or the controlling shareholders, they need to provide personal guarantee to the borrowings. Therefore, you know, putting these individuals under a quite undue financial risk should the expansion plans go sour. Banks are typically less stringent on controlling shareholders of a listed company. So this would be one key factor for a lot of companies wanting to do IPO. And secondly, you know, shares of listed companies are like a form of currency. So instead of using purely cash for acquisition, PLC can use their new shares issuance as a currency. Really, it all depends on the company's long-term strategic plan.
And what might be the biggest challenges for a company that's looking to go public?
Of course, one of the biggest challenges in the IPO is getting the best valuations for the company. This is often subject to the timing of the IPO or flavor of the market. Oftentimes, a would-be IPO finds itself launching at a time when the stock market is in the doldrums, or when the sector which the IPO company is in is facing certain skepticism by the investors. Then the other challenge is that time to list, which can vary from market to market. For instance, capital markets in Singapore or Hong Kong are often touted as a very efficient market for listing exercise. In light of the few months, just a few months taken to get companies listed on the exchange. One important factor, of course, is approving authorities playing a big role in the whole process. In Malaysia alone, I've seen companies taking even up to 18 to 24 months for a listing process. So the long process can really drag management away from time spent on operations and business expansions. Then, of course, there are costs associated with to be a listed company. And this is something that any would-be PLC will have to consider. They may not understand that. And the costs of having, like, for example, well-represented boards, hiring experienced professionals like accountants, or appointing exchange-approved auditors. Can be quite deterrent for small-sized PLC. My personal view is remains that there are no business for small business to be listed.
Yeah, so that was Terence Liu. He's the chief executive and the founder of Aquilas Advisory. Just, you know, talking about, you know, challenges in taking the IPO route. There's various alternative ways to raise funds. An IPO may still be the holy grail, but if you look at the numbers, the private sector of raising funds, these alternative funding methods are still leading by a mile compared to, you know, IPO route.
There you go. Ladies and gents, we have to take a very short break. We've got music coming up from BRMC, Black Rebel Motorcycle Club with Ain't No Easy Way Out. We come back, our final story of the day, 2019 Global Human Capital Trends, all led by Frida Liu, who's being very mindful today. Don't go anywhere. If you want a feedback, 018-789-8899 is the number to get us on WhatsApp, on Twitter, or Instagram. We are at BFM Radio. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.